Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Polyglot. I'm your host, Adam, and in this podcast, I give you tips and advice about learning languages generally, and I make a lot of digressions about a lot of interesting language facts. Last episode, before my holiday, I went over some of the hardest languages to learn for native speakers of English. And today, I'm going to go over some of the most difficult languages to learn. The opposite. I'm going to be talking today about the easiest languages to learn. And you might think that it's similar, but I found a very interesting strategy to decide for yourself about which languages are easy and which languages are difficult. And because the last week's episode was all connected to English, and here you could use this kind of paradigm to apply it to your own native language. So for example, if you learn Polish, if you speak Polish and you want to learn a different language, or Mandarin, Cantonese, whatever. And this is from a site called Ripe, and they're an online teaching company. And this method is called the Golden Sentences. And they say, if you want to determine which are the easiest languages to learn, you should aim to answer the following questions first. Are there any new grammatical structures that will postpone fluency? So basically, is there going to be something strange that's going to make it difficult for you to learn? The second question, are there new sounds that will double or quadruple time to fluency, particularly vowels? So many languages are difficult for speakers of certain languages to say. The third one, how similar is it to languages I already understand? What will help and what will interfere? And all of these questions talk about how difficult it will be and how long it will take to become fluent. And, you know, the trick with a topic like this is a lot of people just want to type in Google and they want to say, like, what is the hardest language to learn, or what is an easy language for me to learn because I need to learn new languages to improve my career and all of that. But if you have time to think about it and you don't want to use the Foreign Service Institute list that I talked about last lesson, you can use this method. So there are these golden sentences. They're 8 sentences, and these sentences, so I'll tell you the sentences and I'll tell you how you use them. The apple is red. It is John's apple. I give John the apple. We give him the apple. He gives it to John. She gives it to him. I must give it to him, and I want to give it to her. So if you translate these sentences, or if you find examples of these sentences in the target language, you can actually compare the grammar of your target language and English, for example. And you could probably, you know, take it, you could translate this into any language, like Polish, like I said, like Mandarin, like Cantonese, and you could take, you could look at it that way. And they've done this for Spanish, I'll tell you in a moment. So, for example, the apple is red. La manzana es roja. It is John's apple. Esta es la manzana de Juan. I give John the apple. Le doy la manzana a Juan. We give him the apple. Le dimos la manzana a él. He gives it to John. Él se la da a Juan. She gives it to him. Ella se la da a él. I must give it to him. Yo tengo que desarla a él. And I want to give it to her. Yo quiero dársela a ella. Sorry for my pronunciation. But, so, why is this important? So you can see with these sentences how the verbs are conjugated Is it based on gender and number? You can see the fundamental order of the sentence. So fundamental order is subject, verb, object, like English and Chinese. So I eat the apple, I subject, verb, eat the apple, object. Or is it subject, object, verb, like Japanese, I the apple eat, or is it something else? And the first three sentences, they show you if the language has a noun case, that might be a problem in the but for you. So, what is a noun case? So, a noun case is when you have one word, like in Polish, pies, that's dog, and if you look in the English, Polish translation, you'll see dog, pies, but you know, that word changes depending on the grammar of the sentence. So, nie mam psa, I don't have a dog. That psa is dog, you know. So the first three sentences, if I can go back to the first three sentences, the apple is red. So I'll translate these sentences, I'll try, into Polish and you can see what they mean. So the apple is red. Jabłka jest czarne. So that's normal. It is John's apple. Jest jabłka Jana. Or Jana, actually, I guess. Well, I'm a little bit nervous about my Polish translation, but I give John the apple. Dam. Actually, I don't know y apple at all, so it's hard, but maybe I give it to John. Dam. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. See, because I have a problem with this. So yeah, if you translate those three sentences, you can see if the sentence has these cases. So yeah, you can use those sentences to decide how the difficulty of the languages that you want to learn. And so it, they, I mean, this is a little bit marketing for them, but they have divided, they've used those golden sentences to come up with seven major world languages and say how difficult they are. And they've divided the difficulty into speaking. So the ease which learners are able to pick up the language, grammar. So it's easy, moderately difficult, or difficult to acquire. Writing. So some languages are easy to speak and write. Other languages you need to learn an entire new writing system. So Spanish is number one. They say speaking very easy, grammar very easy, writing very easy, overall very easy. But and overall Spanish has a shallow orthographic depth, which means that most words are written as they're pronounced. So writing in English, Spanish is a straightforward task. Yeah, so and this is connected again to a speaker of English, but you could use this method to kind of analyze other languages if you're a native speaker of some other language. And the next one is Italian. So speaking easy, grammar easy, writing moderately easy, and overall it's easy. And they give you some examples why. Foresta is forest, calendario is calendar, ambizioso is ambitious. And the language is very rhythmic. And the next one is French. So the speaking is moderately easy, grammar moderately easy, writing moderately easy, and overall it's moderate. And I said this on the other episode that a lot of words in English are connected to French. They give the example of edifice, royal, village. Yeah, but it is more difficult than those other languages. You're noticing a pattern that all of these are romance languages. Portuguese, speaking moderate, grammar moderate, writing moderate, and overall it's moderate. So the difficulty with Portuguese is that it has that very kind of nasal sound, like now. German is next. Speaking difficult and everything else moderate to moderately difficult. So the difficulties for English speakers are that it has long words. There's four noun case endings, and the pronunciation is quite difficult. Some people like German because you can build very complicated words with it, and they have an example which is television, but my wife laughs at me every time I try to pronounce German, so I'm not going to do it. The sixth one, and I think that they just picked world languages because the sixth is Hindi. But there are a lot of Hindi words which are in English, like guru, jungle, karma, yoga, bungalow, cheetah, looting, thug, avatar. But of course, you have to learn the alphabet, which makes it quite difficult. Same thing with Mandarin. So the grammar is not hard with Mandarin, but of course the pitch is hard, and the script is quite difficult. So one thing with the tone, they give an example. Tang, I'm not going to do it, but tang with a high tone means soup, but tang with a rising tone means sugar, and then there's the thing with horse and mom and things like that. Yeah, so that's just a different way of thinking about what a language that you can use these sentences to, well, you could use any sentence really, but you could use like basic sentences to compare the grammar of your language and the target language. And a lot of people, they kind of criticize this translation method, but I think it is a good way to understand different grammar because you have to accept when you're translating something from one language into another language and vice versa, you have to accept the structures of the language in itself to do it correctly. So it's a quite good exercise. Yes, so that's all that I have to say today. If you would like to support the podcast, there's many ways you can do it. You can review the podcast, you can subscribe to the podcast, tell your friends, but also what you could do, you can support the podcast financially by going to patreon.com/leverton, and you can also, this is quite new, I just started this, if you want to learn English, I'm now available on Thursday and Friday mornings on Italki. I've just started to work with them, so you can book lessons with me. And if you don't have time that specific day, I also train people to improve their English writing. So you can sign up for lessons using the link in the show notes, and that would be great. So thank you very much, and goodbye.
On my words on the edge of Sombrero, the gringo, sick flows, yes, the cockatoy, kill Agnes with a glance from the pupil of annoyed. A mic stored in underwear drawers of my dresser, rhymes from true God, yours is child of a lesser. A lowercase g hanging under the bar, my G's above and beyond, and shining bright from afar like North Star. Guided me to Gibson, the major, Dr. Stranger, like blase blah, bringing danger. Inferno, subharmonico, sick.